What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh, it's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season episode, Chase Young, number 99.
Wow. Next one is our big 100th anniversary episode.
And what do we have planned for, Valdez?
I don't know. Maybe we should bring on Vinny and Joe, since EB is always ducking their podcast.
Sounds like they need some new podcast hosts.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get into that here in a little bit. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
And I'm Matt Valdez.
We are the producers of The Junkies. We got a great show for you guys today. You know, as it is football season and we are heavy into the Commanders, we still try to find time, like we talked about last week, for skits and bits and having fun.
Yes, and we're all about fun.
We are, and I thought, you know, today, after the guys got warmed up a little bit, especially EB.
Yeah, have to talk about cranky EB.
They did have a little bit of fun, but we told you guys a couple weeks ago about our friends at Crab Sports, and before we get into the meat of the show,
the meat of the show, I see what you did. Is it the claw meat of the show? Or the jumbo lump meat of the
show. This is a jumbo lump only, Valdez.
Of course. You're starting to learn. I appreciate it.
We want to tell you guys about some great new things they have going on with Crab Sports.
Yeah, Crab Sports have finally launched their app. If you support Bit Season and you support Don't Sleep Energy and you support all of our sponsors, hopefully you guys support Crab Sports. Right now, we're...
Especially you Marylanders.
Yeah,
that's where it's done at.
You'll have all that Maryland pride and you have that flag flying or tattooed on your arm like the redneck you are. You should be downloading the Crab Sports app. They have a bunch of awesome features. They're featuring our Jumbo Lump Parlay, where they give you a boosted odds on me and Drab's selections for the week. I know this week I'm taking the Ravens under 41.5 against the Browns.
Oh,
the Browns.
That's not very many points.
It's not very many points.
I thought it was 45. You're taking under 41.
Under 41.5.
Is that an alt total?
It's not an alt total.
Damn.
I'm buying into the Browns defense.
Okay.
The Ravens defense, although very banged up, has played very well. So I'm looking for a low scoring snooze fest under in that game.
All right, we're going to lump that with Drab's play. I like Georgia minus 14.5 at Auburn. I was going to say between the hedges, but...
No, that's not between the hedges.
No, it's not. At Auburn, I think Auburn stinks. Texas A&M just pumped them last week. And Georgia's starting to look a little better week by week. They get Ladd McConkey back, their wide receiver. Like Georgia big in this one. I think they're going to win by over 20 points. But just take the minus 14.5 Georgia. And we want to remind you guys that Crab Sports wants you to play responsibly. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 years of age or older. So this is what you do. You go to your phone, you download the app in either the Apple Store or the Android Store, and then you put in the promo code BIDDIES.
Yes, BIDDIES is the promo code for Crab Sports. That's where you get hooked up. We love Crab Sports. We appreciate them being a sponsor. And like I said, you want to support us, you want to keep the show going, you support our sponsors.
Absolutely. All right, Valdez, we got a lot to get into today. First off, We're a little embarrassed about Cakes' microphone last week. We are radio professionals.
We are.
But you guys got to know, we actually don't... We never wore headphones during this show.
We had a lot of issues going on.
Yeah, so what we happened after last week's show, we said enough is enough. Valdez and I sat in here for a couple hours this week tinkering with the headphones. And
yeah, we were like Roger.
We had Roger help us out for a little bit. We got our headphones working again in here. We rebuilt the console, basically.
Yeah, from scratch. We had to resolder everything.
So now we have headphones, and we can be able to tell if Cakes is microphone or one of our microphones.
We should be able to monitor our levels better, too.
We should. Even though I've gotten so used to not doing a show with headphones with you that...
It's actually kind of jarring.
It is a little bit jarring to be wearing headphones, as stupid as that sounds.
Your voice is so boomy. And I'm also using Cakes' microphone stand, and Cakes is legendary for having his volume turned up as much as possible, because he basically has tinnitus in his ear, and he's going deaf. And I can see why he's going deaf. Well, he has this thing on like 11.
I think Lurch does as well, because my volume right now is about 85% lower than his was.
That's unbelievable.
They always say that radio guys go deaf, but I've been wearing headphones for 20 years, whatever it is.
Yeah, I've been wearing headphones a long time.
My ears are silly.
My hearing's definitely going poorly.
Hey, did we ever have a hearing test on the Junkies?
No, we should, though.
Why haven't we ever done it?
Hey, write that down in this for summer, okay. For summer bits. Summer put that bits. In your notes.
A hearing test. All right, but how does the audience get, like...
Well, it's easy. So whenever the guys are being administered the test, we play the sounds over the air. So you're hearing what Eric's hearing in his ear. So have you ever done a hearing test before?
When I was in kindergarten.
Yeah.
It was like a green box or something.
Yeah, I imagine it's the same kind of thing where they bring you into that little tiny room that's in like the alcove of the library.
Yeah.
They hook you up to the machine and you're supposed to like raise your hand if you ever hear a tone.
Some of those tones were butt faint.
Oh, so faint. All right. So
that was unfair.
So that's what I imagine is that everyone stays quiet and say, okay, we're now going to administer the test for EB. All right, EB, raise your hand whenever you hear a tone, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy will signal to us, and we'll play the tone over the air.
The same tone?
The same tone.
But how do we get
at the same frequency.
Okay.
All right? I can go into an Adobe and edit all this stuff.
Yeah, you can. Uh-huh.
All right? And have it at the same frequency and play it. And then they'll hear what Eric hears, and then you'll be able to tell if your hearing's the same as his, worse than his, and same thing for
He'll
all the guys.
He'll have to verbalize it. He'll have to say sound or beep,
Eric will have to verbalize
instead of raising his hand.
But the person who's administering the test doesn't verbalize it, because then you could notify Eric when something's playing when he can't hear it.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah. I always enjoyed those tests in kindergarten.
So did I.
Or early elementary, because you had the hearing test.
You had the hearing test.
You had the scoliosis test.
I remember the scoliosis test.
Were you ever worried that you were going to get scoliosis? It sounds really bad.
It sounds like you'd be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life.
To me, scoliosis sounds like a bacteria infection.
Yeah, almost like a meningitis.
Something like that, yeah.
But I always passed the lice test.
The lice test was a big one. I mean, that was ultimate shame.
Oh, of course. If you tested positive for lice, you might as well be a leper.
Can I tell you, I don't know if I've ever even seen lice in my life.
I've never seen lice either.
You never had it?
Never had lice.
Now, I think it's more common in girls because they're the longer hair.
I don't even know how you get lice.
Well, I think you hang out with other
lice-infected people.
Yeah, other lepers.
I just know it's a big thing at schools.
Yeah, it must be how it spreads.
Yeah, that's how you spread it.
Where do lice
live in your head?
Well, I know, but do they have like a home base?
like a hornet's nest?
Yeah.
Like a nest?
Yeah, yeah.
A lice nest?
Like in your house somewhere? Or like is there a queen lice? Or the queen lie? I don't even know what it would be.
What's the singular for lice? Lie?
I have no idea. But I've never had lice.
I've never had lice either.
They take the comb and they rub the back of your head.
Yeah, they rub it through your head. Mm. And hey, that is the most frightening. That is the most frightening 5 seconds of your life.
I never really sweated the lice test because I knew, like, I figure I would have known.
You didn't have any hair?
I did have a buzz cut. I did have a buzz cut. By the way, we should maybe talk about Drab possibly getting another hair transplant. Hey, a candidate for another hair transplant.
Hey, good for you, Jack.
I know. Our buddy Mike from the mill was giving me a kind of a hard time about it yesterday. He was like,
what, about the transplant or being bald?
About inquiring about another hair transplant.
Hey,
I don't know if the audience even knows, but this is now the third time someone's inquired about giving Drab a hair transplant.
Well, think about it. Nobody else is intrigued by it but you.
Right.
Like Cakes, I think you use the phrase for Cakes. Too far gone.
Cakes is lost cause, and it would be too weird if he just showed up with hair.
Yeah, Brian Mitchell, I think he likes his bald head. That's his look.
Black guys look great bald. They don't have anything to worry about.
You, on the other hand.
I told the guy, it's like, he's a P1 too. His name's Dr. Kevin, Dr. B, Kevin B. I told him, and before we go too far down the road, I have to go into his
you need a consultation.
Nick, I go, look, dude, this is my third consultation. I'm like a prime candidate. I know everything. Everything you're about to tell me about this procedure that you I know.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. He's a P1.
Here, give me.
It's a mom and pop hair restoration time.
You have a boutique hair restoration.
Well, as opposed to like, you know, like people would go to Bosley or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, the big chain store. Drab doesn't shop at the big chain stores for his hair.
Here's the only thing that gave me a little pause about it. Yeah. And look, if I ever get a hair transplant, I'm fully aware that it's going to become prime show material.
You realize your hair will be the new AWOD.
Yes.
Because whenever the guy's got nothing, they'll talk about your hair.
And I don't know the first thing about the medical field, I'll be honest. But it was a little concerning that he was, before he was a hair transplant doctor, he was a urologist, like 4 years ago.
it's like he transferred colleges.
Yeah, yeah. He went to the transfer portal and picked a new field. He got tired of looking at dongs all day and said, I'll look at something even more emasculating, men with no hair.
So hold on. So give me the relay, the pitch. So when you go in for these consultations, they say, okay, we see the problem. You can't grow hair here, 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 and here. We're going to.
Well, they want to make sure that you have enough hair in the back.
Okay.
Because what they end up doing for this procedure, the main procedure, is they take, this sounds horrific, they take basically your scalp, your skin in the back, they pluck it out of your head,
Okay.
Sew it back together. So tighten the back of your head again, and then pick all the hairs out of that, and then put it on top of your head.
So it's like they're planting seeds.
They're planting seeds
in a garden.
They're planting seeds, and then it's so intensive that I have to do it again 9 months later. You're talking like, I don't know, thousands and thousands and thousands of hairs.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine.
We're replanting and I don't know. We'll have to see. I've never gotten so many like messages about people when they hear me talk about this stuff from my fellow bald guys out there that are interested.
Now, do you know anyone who has completed the transplant process?
Yeah, well, some of the guys I've talked to, Dr. Kevin, he got one. Guy looks like a male model, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
He probably had slight balding, and he just took care of it at a young age.
Uh-huh.
He looks great.
Yeah, how do you dream balding?
But the guy at the previous place that I almost went to like a year ago or 6 months ago, at one point in his life, he was completely bald, like cakes. And he just got numerous procedures done.
You know.
And now he's got like this slick back Governor Newsom hair.
you know, it's going to be shocking, like seeing you with hair.
I know it's a slow growth, though. It takes like months to grow out and then do it again.
I don't know.
And you're still not going to, I'm not going to look.
Are you
like,
just going to rub it in my face, though? Like, just
no
with your luscious, luscious locks, you're just gonna
no
it's
because
it's gonna be weird. It's like when a chick gets boobies for the first time, right?
I wish you're wearing
low-cut tops all over.
I wish
over.
It was like that.
That's
where
gonna
I,
be you wearing a bandana all yeah. over the place.
I'm wearing bring out the spiky hair gel. Something like
you're
that
keep, you're gonna keep
big pompadour.
Yeah, you're gonna keep product in your locker.
I don't think it's quite like that. I think you can only get a certain amount of your hair back. So I don't think I'm gonna be
Why do you want this? Why do you need this? Are you so self-conscious about it? It's you're 41 years old
and married,
and
you still want to look good no matter what, how old you are, no matter what, you still want to look good. I don't think I don't see it as a vanity project necessarily.
I don't know what it is. I think Drab suffers from this low self-esteem.
No, I don't.
Syndrome.
No. I actually have great self-esteem.
Because you're constantly tinkering and transforming yourself.
Well, who if you're not working on yourself, what are you doing?
I don't know. Living.
You're working out every day.
I know, but I also
don't think it's low self-esteem. There's something about like I love my life. I absolutely love my life. I'm very thankful that I'm alive and appreciative of everything that I have in my life. And there's plenty of people worse off. I'm very grateful for my life. I just got this. There's one short end of the stick. I got two things about me that
Drab suffers from, like this physical phobia,
body dysmorphia.
Yeah,
I do not have body dysmorphia. I actually think I'm a good looking guy. Especially with a hat on. And in the wintertime when I'm wearing two layers.
multiple layers
and not wearing a thin t-shirt. But that I'm working on that as well.
You're always working.
You're never
satisfied.
Part of
never
it,
settle. That's Drab's motto. Never settle.
Part of it is the intrigue of an expensive procedure.
I know that's
being
also, that's
given
also,
to me.
I know that's also that you get your rocks off on that
a little bit.
That,
yeah.
The fact that they're just gifting you this massive thing,
and they're entrusting their business with me as their spokesperson.
Yeah, honestly, that's why I took up golf so much.
I couldn't
believe some of these courses were letting me play there.
Right, it's a great perk.
It's a huge perk. It's just they let this idiot redneck rub elbows with some of the area elite.
Right. Well,
it's the same kind of thing.
I'm doing something for them.
That's true too.
What are you doing for the golf courses? You can't really mention them. You know, you kind of can passing.
In passing.
Right, but we're doing a little bandwagon advertising is what they call it. They see the celebrity Drab t-shirt getting a hair transplant. They want one, too.
Well, they see Valdez hitting balls
maybe they do.
At Potomac Shores.
Maybe
they want to go play. They want to go play the same course as Valdez.
All right. Maybe you're onto something.
I don't know. But you're always tinkering.
Yeah.
Always tinkering. Speaking of the test, that reminds me of the physical fitness test.
Physical fitness test I hated.
I always hated that because
of the pull-ups.
No, 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 no. That was my cup of tea.
The pull-ups were your cup of tea?
Cup of tea. I wasn't good at the sit and reach.
Oh, I dominated the sit and reach. Wasn't there the rope climb?
We didn't have a rope climb. It was a mile, sit and reach.
Crush that.
Everyone used to.
Can I tell you that when I was like in fifth grade.
Were you the fastest kid in school?
Second fastest. Andy George was the fastest.
But you know, that's why Seinfeld's so genius. Everyone remembers who the fastest kid in school was.
I know, right.
Like if you didn't finish in the top, if you were a male and you didn't finish top five in your mile run, you might as well have been the big fatty.
Can I tell you, it was a measuring contest. It sounds like a bad thing to say, but in reality, it really was.
That's how you.
Because mano a mano.
Yeah. And then, you know, everyone compared all the sports they played. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Eric Tate played soccer and lacrosse.
But there was a very firm, definitive answer, and that was your time.
Of course.
Right? It wasn't like, oh, I saw him make three baskets in a row. Like, there was no sugarcoating.
He scored three goals. Well,
yeah, he was cherry picking or
recess,
whatever. Right? Yeah. No, this is it. Like, you get on the line, the whistle blows, and you run a mile or whatever it is.
At Bodkin Elementary, we used to run, I think it was like four laps or five laps mm-hmm. around like this soccer field. It wasn't just a soccer field. It was like from this goalpost to goalpost, and you go all around. All right. And like you said, it is a measuring contest. All right. I think Lawrence Siebold.
Okay. Is that the fast kid in your class?
No, he wasn't. But he ended up beating a bunch of fast kids. And this guy didn't have an athletic bone in his body. All right.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't have an athletic bone in his body. And he ended up beating like the twins that played soccer at Bodkin, mm-hmm. all of the fast kids. All right. And then there was controversy. One of the kids say, he dropped one of his popsicle sticks.
Oh, are you supposed to carry
carried the popsicle stick so you remembered your laps. How many laps you had to do.
Oh, really?
So no one cheated.
We didn't do that at our school.
So we locked arms mm-hmm. like it was a missing person. And we were combing the fields for the popsicle stick.
Did you find him?
We found the popsicle stick. And we shamed him for cheating on the mile. It was huge Bodkin Elementary controversy.
Isn't it a little obvious if you can just see who's out in front and know where they're at? If somebody finishes a...
Dude, we're 10 years old. Okay. we're not putting two and two together.
All right. Did you ever... then the only other testing that we took when we were young at school that I remember was the vision test.
Vision test.
We did that at school. Maybe a colorblind test. I think maybe we did
we,
that.
We
too.
Had that. Did you have the obesity test?
No. They did that in Pasadena.
Pasadena.
Really?
You had calipers.
What is a caliper?
It's like they would pinch the fat mm-hmm. literally on the side at your love handles. Mm. They would pinch it and then they would measure your body, your BMI. And then and they would call it out in the middle of gym class.
Chance.
I swear to God.
In front of all the other boys and girls?
In front of all the boys and girls.
Why haven't you been a big fatty? There's no chance they did that.
If they were a big fatty, they would say, Sarah Jones, 42.
I swear to God, you're misremembering something.
No, I swear to God.
They did not call out.
Dude, I swear to God, they used to pinch the fat on your sides.
Mm.
Or it might have been
under your arms.
It's one or the other. And then they would get a reading, and then Mr. Shiplet would call it out and would go, John Smith, 13, Matthew Myers, 12.2, Sarah Smith, 42.
That's funny. You remember the names of all your teachers when you were that young? Like your secondary teachers?
Mr. Shiplet was
that was your PE teacher?
That was my PE teacher.
What was your number one sport? I'll tell you what my number one sport was in PE.
In PE?
That I literally could have been pro at.
I was the best the best at Steal the Bacon.
All right, I'm intrigued by Steal the Bacon.
All right. Steal the Bacon.
Now, this is not high school. This is elementary school.
No, this is elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where speed kills. So what you would do is you would put a bowling pin, all right, mm-hmm. on like at mid-court. And keep in mind, this is like a shrunken court. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't like a full high school NCAA basketball court.
It's probably
three-quarters of the court.
Yeah, I know those
courts,
yeah.
All right. So you would divide up into teams.
Mr. Why are we talking in panty pants?
I don't know.
Or is it our new headphones that are throwing us off?
It's throwing me off.
Maybe it's all the dick measuring comments. Yeah,
Mr. Shiplet would divide everyone into teams, into fair teams, divide up all the fast boys.
Yeah.
All right. Because you couldn't have all the fast boys on the same team or the fast girls on the same team. And then you would have a bowling pin at midcourt, right at the middle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then everyone would line up, all right, on the baseline. All right. And you're getting into your running stance. And then Mr. Shiplet would say, "Drab Valdez, go!" Like that. And you would run to the middle, and you'd have to get the bowling pin and take it back to your side before the other person could.
And then what?
And that's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Steal the Bacon.
All right.
I was also very good at Red Rover.
Can I tell you that I love Red Rover?
Of course.
What a game to be a bully.
Yeah, I know.
Like, bullies, you could just really just lay into someone in that game.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Let's talk about Red Rover, because you just got me. Size.
Red Rover, I dare Drab to come over.
Is that what you guys say, I dare?
Yeah,
I think we say we'd say, Red Rover, send Valdez right over. Or something like that.
No, Red Rover, I dare Drab to come over.
And then you'd kick your feet back like you're a bull. Yeah.
Right? You start snorting and huffing and puffing.
How could you not run through the hand? Like, if you... I was never clotheslined by someone's hands.
Never.
But when there was, when you, and I have admitted that I regret being a bully, you know, but and maybe you're not a bully, maybe just part of the game, but I remember just swinging that arm into Rob Scott's stomach.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
I've never right. locked arms harder than with my compadre.
It was like the Hoover Dam.
I was trying to take people's lights out.
Yeah.
Did you ever, what about capture the flag? I was a master at capture the flag.
We never played that in PE because we had good facilities, unlike you. And we
you ever notice all of my PE is imagination based. Right. Drab actually has equipment.
We had a nice big gym, what was my number one? Floor hockey. I mean, I was the Wayne Gretzky of floor hockey. I'm just like 6-7 goals in PE every time. And because
we played floor hockey. Did you have to wear the goggles when you played floor hockey?
No.
They made us wear goggles when we did it.
Pre-pansy. I remember the plastic hockey sticks were red and yellow.
Yeah,
and
I remember those.
I mean, I was Eric Lindros. Like, I was unbelievable at this game. To this day, I can't skate. I probably would be a horrible hockey player, but I just clean up everything in front of the goalies.
You were one of the garbage men sitting up front.
We had in high school, because you had to take PE for the first 2 years in high school, we had this old PE teacher, or at least I thought he was old at the time. He's still alive. I think he's like 95 years old.
Yeah.
His name was Doyle Boatman. All right. And the big thing, and I'm not sure if we talked about this.
Doyle rules. That's all I get. Sorry, guys.
Was you had to dress down for PE, right?
Yeah. You had to change into your uniform.
We had locker rooms. You had your locker, and then you wear the mesh green shorts and then like the white ringer tee.
I know what you mean. Hey, did the girls always roll their shorts up?
Yes, girls always look cute. But here's the
constant rolling of the shorts.
The goth kids never wanted to get out of their blacks.
I know. They would wear their jeans underneath their shorts.
So what would Mr. Boatman's rule was no exceptions. You had to wear the uniform.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you didn't, you had to sit on the steps of the of our gymnasium. Like, we have a massive high school gymnasium. It's like seats like, I don't know, 6,000-7,000 for basketball.
Yeah.
And so you had to sit on these gigantic stairs watching everyone else. And you got like a...
And you got like an incomplete for the day.
Right? And you only got a certain amount
of
until you were kicked out.
If you missed three, you automatically failed.
I don't understand. These goth kids never dress down. Like, they never... And so we'd be playing...
Yeah, like, what are you going to do? Fail me in gym class?
Yeah, so I guess these kids would fail gym. Yeah. I have no idea. It's just so stupid. It's the easiest A. But he would always, like... I remember he would... This guy got his rocks off on ejecting people out of PE. Okay.
Like it was an umpire.
Yeah. And no, I'm not even kidding you. His phrase was, and like it became his shtick over the years. He'd point at you and, or like if you were a bully or you were, you know, screwing around horseplay, he'd say, and this never happened to me, but for example, he'd say, Cahill, you're out of here. And he'd point to the locker rooms. Okay. And I always knew this over the years, but I hadn't thought of Mr. Boatman in years.
Yeah.
And I'm on Facebook the other day, and his name pops up, and I go, Doyle Boatman? He's still alive? And I click on it, and he's like 95 years old, and his Facebook profile, his bio says, you're out of here. I swear to God,
it's
dude.
It's his tagline.
It's his tagline for life.
He probably still says it.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think alumni go up to him all the time and
100%.
Say, and go, hey, you're out of here.
100%.
Hey, I had my gym teacher in high school was Mr.
Look at this. Look at this. I'm going to show you this. I just brought it up. Look how old that guy is sitting in his old man chair.
Oh, my God.
All right, so think of that guy about 25 years ago. And then look at his profile there.
Quote made famous by Mr. Boatman.
Yeah.
My high school gym teacher was Mr. King. And what was so unique about Mr. King is he was missing his index finger on his right hand.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And he would shake your hand. And
it would
just creep you out. He knew he had a missing finger.
Right.
It would just creep you out. And the weirdest part about it is he was the baseball coach.
So I don't know. Silly split finger. Really? Yeah. The baseball coach, huh?
Yes. Oh, hey, real quick, back to capture the flag.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna let everyone on a little secret on how you win capture the flag.
Oh, please.
All right.
I haven't played Capture the Flag in many, many years.
You need volunteers to go to jail. So you have to, this is your strategy, is that you have to have three people in jail. All right. And you can kind of fake it all at once or get tagged and put them in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But what you need to do is you need three people in jail. Then you need a diversion person to go get the flag.
Mm-hmm.
You need to free the people in the jail, and then the people in the jail need to go get the flag on the way back to the other side. That's how you always win capture the flag. The strategy behind that.
All right, uncanny. It's like a stampede.
Yes,
and you just
like
can't
a stampede. Get, you don't realize that the jail that the
they've been let loose.
It's been a jailbreak, and now you're trying to find the people from the jailbreak.
Right.
And then since there's concern about the jailbreak, that's when the flag is most vulnerable.
Now, I'm drawing a blank. Is Capture the Flag the same game as Smear the...
I know you're...
No, I'm being serious. I just haven't thought of it in many years.
I think you can say...
Is it the same game?
I think you can say that in the context, since we're talking about the game.
Everyone knows what I was going to say.
Yeah,
I don't want to get fired.
I think you can say Smear the...
I don't think you could say that.
That's what it was called.
I know it was called, but there's a lot of words you can't say anymore.
I'm just saying that's what it was called.
Right. Is it the same game? Or different games?
To be honest with you, number one, I don't know if you can say that word anymore. Number two, I don't know if you can be violent anymore.
Right.
And number three, it's probably too rough. It's roughhousing.
Yeah. That wasn't really a PE game.
No, that was just a recess. That was a recess game.
Right. And how were you at dodgeball?
Dodgeball?
Yeah.
I was bad.
Wasn't it great hitting the girls with the ball?
It was.
Did you guys use the cherry balls or foam balls?
Cherry.
Cherry balls.
Yeah.
Right? No chance they used
no.
Cherry.
Come on.
Wait, hold on. Is cherry ball in like an international word? You know what that? When I say that, you know exactly.
I knew exactly what you meant.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I didn't know if that was just what they were called in my hometown or something.
No, we used the...
We would just call them the dodge balls. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't play kickball. You would play, kickball, get a dodgeball.
Four square.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's...
It's great being a kid, isn't it?
I know. I miss it.
Do you think these kids these days
No. I can already answer your question. No.
They got to have games. I mean, I see kids playing outside.
No, all of their games...
Are standard...
Are online stuff.
I know, but I see kids playing. Like, I live in... there's a courtyard right in front behind my house for our complex, and there's kids out there all the time, but they're only playing basketball. Like, they're never playing any grab-ass games or anything like that. I felt like we played a ton of those games. I never seen any dodgeball, Red Rover, any of that stuff anymore.
Do you know what kids sound so old. Kids these days don't know the thrill of getting on a swing set, going as high as possible, mm-hmm. and then launching yourself off of the swing at its apex.
Well, swings are still popular. I spent a lot of time at playgrounds.
Yeah, but are kids launching themselves off of the swing?
I like to think so. I hope that isn't a bygone era.
Do you know what we used to do?
That's a rite of passage.
Do you know what we used to do? Hmm. Is that we would go on the swings, go as high as possible, and then when kids would walk by the swings, we would jump off and try and clothesline them like we're Macho Man.
Yeah, you guys are intense.
We were very intense. They're stupid kids.
One of my life's most embarrassing memories is flying off a swing and my pants falling down and my G.I. Joe underwear being exposed. Okay, I was in first grade. My whitey tidies with like little G.I. Joe guys in front of like a fifth grade girl, this black girl that was beautiful, all right, mm-hmm. and an older woman. And I remember her laughing, and I can remember it to this day, top five most embarrassing moment of my life, because then you're a first grader, your pants fell down.
Of course, you're the pantless first grader.
And I'm sure she told all her friends.
Of course,
and they're
giggling. Yeah. They're probably having a slumber party talking about it.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Did I tell you I almost died on a playground?
No.
I thought I did.
No.
I was going down a slide head first. All right? Mm-hmm. Kid stuff.
Right.
And I was wearing...
Metal slide or plastic slide?
Metal slide.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hot as the surface of the sun.
It was in the winter during recess. Uh-huh. And I was wearing my brand new starter jacket, maroon and green, Mighty Ducks starter
jacket. Classic. That's a great
ball. Hey, I just moved up on your list, didn't
I? Yeah, that's a good one.
Had the duck logo on the back. Uh-huh.
Now, was it Mighty Ducks or the hockey team?
The hockey team.
Okay.
All right, because this was right after the movie, mm-hmm. all right, and the Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
It just started,
the maroon, green, and it had the mask. Mm-hmm. As the emblem.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going down the slide head first in my new Mighty Ducks starter jacket. As I'm going down the slide, the strings, all right,
mm-hmm.
the little knots on the end mm-hmm. that you tighten your hood with,
mm-hmm.
all right, got caught on the handle of the slide, the metal handles at the top.
Oh,
as I'm going down
like
head first.
Like a noose or something.
Noose? The thing was wrapped around my neck. All right. And I was kicking my legs. I looked like Brooks from the Shawshank Redemption.
But you were on the slide.
I know. And it's hanging on by my neck. And it's literally hanging me. And my feet are banging against the metal slide. Wow. And these kids are just looking at me, speechless, as I'm... Wow. Screaming like that.
And did they eventually come over and help you?
Teacher sprinted over, all right,
yeah.
and grabbed me by the legs to help me up. And then finally, another teacher came over and untied it from the metal handle.
Yeah.
It looked like Zorro cut a Z in my neck. All right.
Really?
Yeah, I had a huge scar bleeding from the neck. Rope burn in the shape of a Z right down the middle. Right
Damn.
Down the middle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, almost died.
Wow.
And I thought I told you that.
Can I tell you the thing?
Ever since then, but, Mrs. Valdez, my mother, mm-hmm. took out the strings, because they had to call my mom, they called the ambulance and everything. Mm-hmm. The whole debacle, whole scene. This was probably when I was in third or fourth grade.
Right.
All right. Ever since then, my mother took the strings out of my, jacket.
You couldn't be trusted with them.
Couldn't be trusted.
Right. Wow. You know, the thing I love most about this show is that we get to spark these memories that we have long repressed. Right?
Of course.
Maybe just forgotten about. Yeah. And I don't get the opportunity in my everyday life to, outside of doing this show, to think back on my childhood and all the things that happened to me.
It's a home. It's a therapy session.
It's just fun. Right? It's just fun. Like, we have a whole rundown here. We don't get to any of it because we just get caught up on our own bullshit. And then I know the listeners are sitting at home thinking, wishing they're wanting to chime in with their own horrific stories.
Yes,
and
they're laughing to themselves. Or the games that they were an expert at.
Right. I wish we had callers.
So would I. So do I. Do you remember Field Day? Did you have Field Day?
We had Field Day, yeah, and fun
big
runs.
Thing. Big
yeah,
thing.
But I don't remember the details so much of Field Day.
Well, you had four different teams.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it was a big deal because like the order was like randomized. So you got to hang out with like kids from different classes, but were in the same grade that were your friends and everything. And so you were on different teams. All right. And then the teams were led by a teacher, not always your teacher, but like a different teacher. And they would assign you an event.
Mm.
Field Day was the greatest day.
And for all the kids from all the different grades?
All the different grades, they all competed against each other. Typically, at Bodkin Elementary, there was like four classes in one grade. And each class was like 30 people.
Mm-hmm. What was the point of Field Day?
Compete. Competition.
Instilling that competition.
Yes. And then I was the last person, and it was all tied up, and it was the long jump.
Oh, you're not a long jumper. I've seen you. I've seen we did the broad jump here in studio. You're not a long jumper. No chance you won.
Luckily, I was matched up against a female.
That's not fair.
And I brought home the orange team gold.
Oh, way to go. Yeah. You beat her by an inch.
I actually did.
That's funny, dude. Hey, I'm pretty sure I've told you on this show at some point in the last 100 episodes of my biggest school injury, which did not happen in an athletic competition or in PE or outside. It happened in the science room. I've told you about this, right?
No. What were you?
I think once I tell you, would
you remember. You mix chemicals together?
Yes.
Oh, do you have to use the awesome eyewash machine?
Yes. I haven't told you about this. I'm pretty sure I have. In seventh grade, I'm pretty sure it was seventh grade, we were making the world's biggest bubbles, okay, in the science classroom.
Like bubbles you blow or?
Think of like a hula hoop.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't even that big. I don't even remember. And maybe
those are always fun.
They are fun.
Yeah,
they are fun. And maybe I wasn't in seventh grade, but we were in the seventh grade teacher's science classroom. So maybe I was fifth grade. I don't really remember. But we mixed so many chemicals in a bucket. All I remember is like glycerin was definitely one.
Okay.
I think that's like, what does glycerin do?
Doesn't it ignite stuff? Right, it's spark stuff.
It's some soap. It's some so much like Dove and all kinds. It was a science classroom. So
yeah,
honestly, the biggest bubble in the classroom. The thing may have been 6 feet wide. Okay, but you would like float it in the air, and then you would have to measure it. Like you would have to document how big your bubble was. And so everyone has got these huge ass bubbles in the classroom. And I don't think the eyewear was mandatory back then. Like I remember
it never was.
We had them. Or nobody was as stupid as me. I think that was a thing.
That's also another. That's probably.
Everybody was standing up measuring them.
Yeah.
Well, I had the genius idea to get underneath the effing bubble with my yardstick or whatever it was and look up at the bubble. And then, of course, it popped.
Yeah.
All the chemicals came down into my eyeballs.
Burning.
Valdez, it was like, honestly, like someone.
Dump chlorine in your eyes when you're going swimming.
Like an acid bath. I don't even know what to compare it to. Like,
with your skin melting off your body.
The worst pain I've ever felt in my life. Okay, like someone literally lit my eyes on fire. And I'm I grab someone. My eyes are foaming.
Uh-huh. Are you screaming?
I'm screaming.
Are you crying?
Well, actually, I try to probably play it cool for a second, but then the panic starts setting in, and I realize I'm in deep crap.
Yeah.
So you're,
number one, the embarrassment is first. Then all of a sudden, physical pain.
The pain is kicking in. Yeah. Have you in your entire life ever seen the eyewash station used?
Never. It's so dusty.
Dude.
And actually, the teachers are using it to put papers on that they've graded.
I think Mrs. Hara went into a state of shock. She realized she had to use the eyewash machine. Okay. I was the guy. They dragged me to the back. I cannot see. I remember blackness. She's yelling at everyone, get out of the way. The entire class stops. She lays me on the counter over the sink in the eyewash machine, pumping my eyes with that dumb suction cup thing. Dude, it's not working. I'm there. She's pumping my eyes for like 10 minutes. They have to remove me from the classroom and take me to the principal's office area and the nurse's office.
Yeah, the nurse's office.
Basically, the operating room.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember to the point where I was like, felt like I was cool enough where I didn't want to be. I mean, obviously I knew I was embarrassed, but they kept saying, we need to call an ambulance. And I was saying, I remember just yelling, no ambulance, no ambulance, because I would have been so embarrassed if I had got dragged out of school in an ambulance. Even though I could not see for like 40.
You were willing to risk blindness to save embarrassment.
Yes, 1,000%. I just, they pumped my eye for 45 minutes. Eventually, like the eyewash wasn't, so they had to take me to like a big sink. That's what where the big sink was. And so they're just rinsing my eyes for 45 minutes. Eventually, the pain subsides. And I'm chilling there. I can't see though. Like my eyes are so sensitive, but I think I can barely open them.
Light is starting to come in, but it's all blurry.
And
fuzzy.
You wouldn't believe what happened next. I thought my day sucked then. The dumb fire alarm goes off. There was a planned fire drill. Okay. Mrs. Hara is in the room. She hands me, Mrs. Hara is like 70 years old, her sunglasses. Because she says, your eyes are too sensitive. We have to go outside. The sunniest day of the year. Okay. And you have to go out there. And
it rains every day in Washington, except for the one.
Sunniest day of the year. I remember they led me hand by hand outside with like all the female. It was all female teacher schools, Catholic high school, elementary school. Couldn't see. I'm wearing Mrs. Hara's green sunglasses, and I have to line up single file with my classmates as they're like holding my hand. And I had to stay outside for like 20 minutes while they do the dumb fire drill.
Hey, if you had a cane, they would have thought you were blind.
Dude, I can believe I'm the eyewash guy.
You are the eyewash guy.
And it was a horrifying experience. And in 2023, I could have sued the school, you know, whatever. Like, you know, people didn't sue each other back then. Or you'd barely.
We didn't know what a lawsuit was.
My mom wouldn't have even said it. She would have said, Matt, idiot.
You're stupid.
You're stupid. You didn't wear your eyeglasses.
Yeah.
Your goggles. Instead of saying, you know, why wasn't my son wearing the goggles?
I don't think you ever told me that.
No, dude. So embarrassing. So pain, worst pain I've ever felt in my life.
When you were in I guess it was middle school, did you have to do the mousetrap cars?
What is that?
That's when you have to build a car out of a mousetrap, and you were graded on how far your mousetrap car went.
No. This sounds very remedial. What do you mean? Like you would take
this was a big deal.
I'll be honest,
in middle school.
We were building solar cars. You were building mousetrap cars in Pasadena. What do you mean? Like a roll, like a derby, some derby thing? Like,
no.
You put little button wheels on it or something.
You were given a mousetrap. All right, and you had to make your car.
So you take
go 20 feet in order to get a passing grade.
But how would it go 20 feet?
All right, I'm going to tell you how. I was stupid. All right. My car consisted of a shoebox top, doilies, and that would use as an axle that you would cut through.
Mm-hmm.
The mousetrap would tie to a piece of string, and then as the trap would go, all right, as it would clamp down, it would move the string and then move the the axle mm-hmm. with the wheels on it, and it would travel that way.
Oh, so it was just like the force of the clamp.
Yes, of the clamp.
Slingshotted. Okay, I'm following.
Yes, and then if you were smart, you would use like a ruler to extend the mousetrap so that the arc of the mousetrap pull would be longer so that
a bigger snap.
So it would be a bigger snap, so you would have more force that your car would go.
Okay.
And then you would be even smarter and you would use like a record for a wheel instead of some dumb
tiny thing
like I did.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Was this an in-class project or take home?
Take home.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's because when you actually had parents that were worried about your grades, they would help you with it.
They would do the project for you.
Yeah, they would basically do the project for you. Mm-hmm. We also had other in-class contests.
Did you make it to 20 feet?
I think I made it to 13.
Oh, you didn't pass the math? Do you know how short 13 feet is?
I am well aware. You would do a walk of shame. I went in there with my mouse trap car. That thing looked like Cakes' electric car compared to everyone else's Ferraris.
Yeah.
All right. I was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
We also, did you ever have to do the ice contest?
What is that?
That's when you had to keep an ice cube full overnight. So you would go to Bodkin Elementary. This was a fifth grade project.
Mm-hmm.
You'd go to Bodkin Elementary. And they would give you an ice cube, and you would label your thing at like you go there like at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You label it and you set it down and you don't touch it. And then in order to get an A, you had to come back and your ice cube had to be intact.
Well, how do you keep your ice cube intact?
Very good question.
What's
Drab?
The trick?
The trick? The mm-hmm. trick is to make some sort of suspension thing so that the water doesn't touch the cube, which makes it melt even more.
Huh.
So I personally had like a foam top with like holes underneath and that the water would drip down. So that's why my ice cube would stand still. Someone brought dry ice for the experiment.
Well, that's cheating.
That is cheating.
Right.
They got a D. Did you also do the egg drop test?
Of course.
Of course.
I did the egg drop. They take you
to the roof.
To the roof of the school, and some crazy lady is on top of the roof. It's six stories up or whatever it was, butt high at our school. And then she would drop they would drop the egg into the container. So many splattered eggs.
So many splattered.
And then I remember this lady, the judge, would always scream out, "It's a no-go, no-go," to the whole audience.
Hey, speaking of the roof, did you...
I don't know if I ever did. I think the egg drop may have been, like, voluntary. Like, it was, like, a whole thing for the school if you wanted to come and be a part of it, and you could have.
I think it was most mandatory at ours. Speaking of the roof, did you, when you were a senior, did you always tell the freshmen that there was a pool on the roof?
No,
that was the big thing.
You got a thing with roofs, didn't you? Say you snuck up on the roof or something at your school.
No. We never snuck up on the roof. No. But we would always there was like a greenhouse on like the top of the roof,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like some nubs.
This
room.
Is in high school. You would tell
the
freshmen.
Yeah, you would tell the freshmen mm-hmm. there's a pool on the roof.
No, we never did that.
All the time. We had nothing else going on.
Sounds like it.
All right,
hey, speaking of nothing going on.
We're going to get to the show today.
All right, let's take a quick break. We will be right back. We got a little bit part of the show left.
We got a little bit left, but we got to thank Mike and Don't Sleep Energy Drink. This episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't Sleep supports Bit Season, supports me, and supports Drabby. We'll actually see Mike on Friday,
absolutely.
Yeah, Twin Lakes. Don't get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use the promo code BITSEASON. You can get it at don'tsleepenergy.com. I know they have it at Amazon. If you just type in Don't Sleep Energy and the promo code BITSEASON for 10% off every order, follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. When we come back, we'll actually get to the start of our show.
Right? We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Bit Season episode 99. After we got off on our tangent there, Drabby.
I blame you.
I know. I blame you too. I hope people enjoy it. I don't know if they do or not, but.
Well, we always say nostalgia is one of the.
It's our main ingredient that we serve up.
Yeah. Well, that is what the show is all about. Us talking about things that happened when we were 10 years old.
It's basically therapy.
It's a tenet of Bit Season.
It's a staple.
Pornography, nostalgia, and junkies. I guess we'll put a little bit of the junkies
in
there.
Speaking of junkies, did you notice something today on today's show, Thursday's show, with Eric? I put this in one of the titles in the segments that I posted online, like the 7:30 segment. Cranky. Very cranky today.
Crabby.
Crabby, that's a great Crab Sports. There's your new endorsement. There's your new endorsement right there.
Bookie B.
Yeah.
So crabby today. And you know what? Why does he act like he's the only one that has to wake up early on this show?
I don't get it either.
It's tilting.
I wake up earlier than all of them.
Everyone's tired on the show.
Yes.
First off, you have to do something about it. You know, if you're tired, then you have to inject caffeine into your body for a little bit of a bump.
Yeah.
Or do something. You just can't come into work and have a bad attitude like he did today.
I guess the attitude could be described as like he couldn't be bothered. You know what I mean? Everything was a monumental task for him.
Eric was in one of his, I just want to sit here and get paid moods.
That's a great way to describe it.
And obviously that's bothersome to us, but as
you know what it was like, it's like, okay, you guys got this show. Don't worry. You guys got it. I'm here if you need me. Let me know if you need
me. Well, it wasn't, I didn't even get that as much as
like, I'm going to take this play off.
You know, we know when not to Joan and
have poke fun, the bear.
Poke the bear. And today was one of those days.
Yeah, today was
because
a day.
He was crabby where if you just did a slight Joan, he was going to explode on you. It was almost best to ignore Eric for the first couple. But then he loosened up later in the show.
Well, he probably got untired.
And was having fun.
His caffeine probably kicked in.
I don't remember what we were talking about later in the show. Maybe it was about Taylor Swift or... the EP that kind of went off on a tangent, but he kind of loosened up there a little bit towards the end of the show. But
why was he so crabby? Is it just being tired, or was something making him crabby today?
I'm sure he is tired, but it's too much country club.
So you think the country club is making him tired, which in turn
he's socializing too much. He's out on a school night.
He's going this, hey, I'm antisocial about everything, mm-hmm. but look at me. I'm at the country club four nights a week.
Well, if you're, it's called a social club, a social membership, right?
He's going to all the mixers.
He's going to the mixers. He's gossiping about people there. he told me that that's all the country club is you just find out dirt about other country club members, and then everyone's just gossiping about each other.
Yeah, as someone who worked at a country club,
yeah.
I can tell you, a country club is its own world. All right, and you have like membership tiers, not necessarily like what people are paying, but like. You have like, oh, the guy, like Mr. Jones is there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He always is up to something. Oh, Mr. Smith is the country club drunk. All right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then everyone's business is always out there too at a club.
Don't you think he's going too hard, too fast with the country club life?
I mean, he's like there a lot.
He's taken over his life.
He's playing golf a lot. He's playing golf more than me.
He's playing golf. He's raving about the food. I mean, come on. It's a country.
It's a high-end TGI Fridays.
Yes. He's raving about the food.
The Chilean sea bass.
Off air. I mean, he won't stop talking about the sea bass. And he's telling his buddy Squirrel's got to sign up because the food blew his socks off or something like that. I mean, come on. It's not even, I mean, I could never afford this place. But it's not even a high-end country club. It's not like it's Trump.
It's not snooty.
It's snooty. It's just an everyday neighborhood country club.
The working man's club.
It is a working man's country club. There's no chance the food is blowing his socks off.
It's a Michelin star country club.
Yeah. Here's our oven-baked chicken, Eric. Wow.
Herb-crusted chicken.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of food, what did... And Eric, what did you think of his daughter demanding steak?
I'm wondering who's calling the shots in that house. First off, like
when you're how old is it's Kate, right?
Yeah,
it's still there.
I think she's 14.
She's 14.
14. Yeah.
When you were 14, would you ever have the balls to tell your parents what you wanted for dinner? Unless you were asked what you wanted for dinner.
There were a couple nights a year that I was probably
your
asked,
birthday.
Yeah, something like that. Where I asked what I wanted. Definitely not just some random Monday or Tuesday night what I wanted for dinner. You know what we had for dinner? We had
whatever mom made.
Ham and cheese sandwiches in the Snackmaster. That's that's what my dad made. And if my mom was there, we'd be lucky enough to have spaghetti or, you know, something from a pot. Definitely never steak unless it was someone's birthday or a big, you know, holiday or something like that. Steak on a Monday.
When I was a kid, we had steak for my dad's birthday. That's the only time I can remember.
Right. Now, I got sice for my mom's cooking.
Yeah, so did I.
But it was the family casserole type stuff. You know, never.
Oh, yeah, what's your beef stroganoff?
I love beef stroganoff.
I know.
Yeah, chicken enchiladas in a casserole dish or, you know, classic American 80s and 90s meals.
Meatloaf.
Definitely never.
Never steak.
And I certainly, I would have said, what would you happen if you told Bob Myers, you go, Dad, I want a steak for dinner tonight.
He said, go buy it yourself. That's what he would tell me.
Yeah. You know what my dad would say? He'd say,
I want your mom to me.
You know what my dad would always say? Actually, my grandfather would say, my dad would definitely not say that. This is my grandfather's line that my dad stole from him, and I will use it with my kids. He would always say, if I would have said, Dad, I want steak for dinner tonight, he'd always say, yeah, well, people in hell want ice water. We're having ham and cheese sandwiches.
Again?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely never called the shots. And then my parents certainly would have not argued over whether or not they were going to the store to get me what I wanted for dinner.
Hey, do you think Kate is sophisticated enough to know the cut of steak she wants?
No.
Like, she goes, this is ribeye. I want sirloin.
I don't think so. He always says that Kate is the easygoing one. He says that Meg is the bougie one. So I would think that Meg, his oldest daughter, who's at Cornell, would be the steak girl.
Well, no, he gets it. It's not out of bouginess. It's out of...
Well, steak, yeah, I mean, a little bit.
Well, no, well, it is bougie, but it's... Apparently, she's a picky eater. I didn't know that Kate was a picky eater.
Maybe I didn't know that either. Now, look, I know EB's kids. They're all very, very, very sweet kids. But Kate, by far and away, like, super charming, super nice
girl.
Very
charming.
Seems like a great kid. So it's not really on her. It's just funny to me that EB gets screamed at when D says, "Oh my God, go to the store then." I'm on team EB on that.
Oh, like, about getting screamed at?
Would Dina sort of put that in the first instructions? Hey, can you go to the store and get a steak for Kate for dinner tonight?
Also, if I told you right now what was in your fridge or what was in your freezer, have no idea.
I have no idea. And I run that shop. Yeah. I have no idea if we have ground beef in there.
Yeah, you're the butcher and you don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, also, steak has to be defrosted.
That's true, too.
You can't just throw that on the grill or whatever. There's planning that involves in that.
I know.
So, but I did think it's funny that that they were arguing over steak for dinner. What was your big family meal? Mine was beef stroganoff. What did you guys always have?
My mom's
crab. You wouldn't eat crab like
no crab
on a
crab
Monday night. Give me a Monday night dinner.
A Monday night dinner.
Yeah,
my mom would make. Stuffed peppers, stuffed green peppers.
I hated it. I hated when my mom made stuffed bell peppers.
I hated so much of the stuff that my mom would make, but I wouldn't. But it was reinforced to me that if you didn't eat, you would go hungry. Like if you didn't have dinner, you would go hungry. You don't get what you want, you go hungry. My mom made this crappy chicken and rice thing all the time.
Hey, I love chicken and rice.
It was so gross. It was...
Why was it like long grain rice or something?
Wild rice, yeah. All right, with chunks of chicken.
Yeah, I know.
And then the string beans.
String beans and
mushrooms.
Yeah.
And then you should see the amount of salt that me and my dad got to put on that thing.
You have to put so much salt
on it. So much salt on it.
Yeah.
All right, because it's the most unflavorful dish in the world.
Yeah. I did go home this summer, though, and I requested my mom to make some cheesy broccoli rice for some reason. That was another meal I had when I was young and seemed to be a hit. And it was damn good this summer when I had it.
My mom gets this bag shrimp that's all on sale, freezes forever. All right. The shrimp are the tiniest freaking shrimp in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so disgusting. They all have freezer burn because my mom buys five packs of them when they're $5 off a Giant.
Yeah.
Right. And then she says, I'm making shrimp Creole tonight. Get your cold water ready because this is going to have a Louisiana kick to it.
Oh,
and
my God.
And it's this freezer burnt shrimp with chopped up bell pepper in this soupy tomato sauce over rice. And it's the worst thing in the world. And then my dad scarfs it down because he's just gotten so accustomed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sitting there eating it. Now the best nights were when dad cooked, because dad was an awful cook. All right.
Yeah.
But he would make man meals. He would make the guy dinners basically for you and the kids. He would make spaghetti and meatballs. My dad used to make this. He would make it all the time. It's the only thing he knew how to make.
Mm-hmm.
He used to take a big old Kaiser bun, all right, like bun,
uh-huh.
Big old thing.
Okay.
All right, toast it up, cook an Italian sausage,
silly.
Put pizza sauce on it, and cover it in mozzarella, put it back in the oven, and you used to have this pizza sub with an Italian
that sounds
sausage.
Delicious.
It was, honestly, it was the most delicious thing I ever had in my life.
Mm.
But that was the only thing he knew how to make.
Right.
Because he grew up making those things for himself when he was a kid, like at the pizzeria that he worked at.
That sounds pretty good.
So he used to make it for me. And I used to beg for that thing all the time.
Did I ever tell you that when my parents are still together, but when I was like in fourth grade, 1990, my mom left for 6 months. Not a marriage thing. My mom went to live in Colorado for like, I don't know, 6 to 8 months or something like that to get her nursing degree.
Okay.
All right. So my mom, when she was in college, she went to University of Portland, but I don't think she ever graduated because she married my dad. But she was working in nursing, but
she needed to finish her schooling.
She needed to get her schooling to get her like nurse practitioner degree. Uh-huh. Okay. So this is 1990. I'm 8 years old. This is before online internet, all that stuff. So my mom left Tri-Cities, Washington, and went to school, like a nursing school, for 8 months, like an 8 month program with other old, mm-hmm. other adults. I don't think it was for yeah. kids. So it was just my dad with five kids okay. in the house. I don't know how he did it. My dad's the world's worst cook, but he's also very picky. When I mentioned the snack master earlier, do you know what that is?
I don't know what a snack master
is. It's the sandwich grill.
Oh, like a panini maker. Yeah.
Like from the 1980s.
Like a Cuisinart thing that you would see
yes,
today.
But it was from like an infomercial back in the day.
All right.
I'm not kidding you. Almost every night for 6 months, we had toast or bread filled with ham, like sliced ham, cheese, put it in the snack master. It yeah. comes out in these little triangle
yeah,
things.
Like a Foreman grill.
Yeah. If we, and then maybe he'd put leftover spaghetti in it one night. But that was it. It was like, this, and then he's Irish, so he loves potatoes. So it was snack master, spaghetti, and almost every night, some sort of mashed potatoes or a potato that he cuts open and mashes it down and puts butter and salt on it and some, and you know, maybe some sour cream if you're lucky. That was my dinner for 6 to 8 months when I was young.
Did you ever have you had the Foreman grill growing up, didn't you?
No, Foreman grill got popular when I was like late high school, college.
My parents made burgers on the Foreman grill.
Those are nubs, aren't they?
They are the worst. The yes. Foreman grill is the worst possible thing
I've
in the
had
world.
The Foreman grill. People,
it's the worst.
It's the worst food ever.
The worst food ever.
How is it so bad?
Yeah, I don't know. And then it's so, you want to lose weight, get a Foreman grill. Mm-hmm. You want to know why? It's because you're watching the grease literally drip into this plastic trough that you put mm-hmm. underneath of it.
Yeah.
And it's the grossest thing in the world. You just have ground beef hamburger guts. Dripping down into this trough.
Why don't?
And then my dad's sitting there dumping mayo on his burger. Yeah, sorry, and yeah. going, the grease just slides right off.
Do people still use the Foreman grill?
There's no chance anyone uses a Foreman grill now.
I don't know. I think maybe it's a relic from the past for sure, but
it was a fad.
I think Othello had one like 10 years ago when I lived with him.
The Foreman grill is basically like the air fryer now. You used to put everything on the Foreman grill.
Right. Yeah, the air fryer.
Yeah, look at the grill marks. It's just like the grill. No, it's not.
No, luckily I never had to have really meals that came from the George Foreman grill. Hey, speaking of Othello, what are your thoughts on our guy Blue Shorts?
Oh, we love
his new career.
We love IDM. But if people don't know, Shorts and Othello are doing a podcast. It doesn't matter.
Shorts from who used to work here. He was laid off, not fired.
So Shorts and Othello are doing the podcast. To be honest with you, I don't even know what Othello's new job is. He's had it. It's not even new, but his.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I thought he had the same job he's always had.
I don't even know his old job.
Yeah, neither do I. He works in an office.
It's an office job.
Works in an office.
But Shorts, I guess, has been looking for work as a blogger, writer, mm-hmm. online.
Hasn't found what he's looking for yet.
Hasn't found what he's looking for.
Severance.
His severance
has run out.
Yes. Yeah, so obviously he needs to find work. So since he can't find the job that he's looking for, Shorts has entered the workforce working in construction.
It's a wild, wild choice knowing Blue Shorts. And look, I respect the hell out of anybody who has a job and goes to work, works hard, 40 hours, especially if you're working
construction.
Blue collar job.
That's definitely a blue collar job. It's definitely worlds apart from what he did before.
Right. Guys like Cowboy Todd who are out there, you know, working with their hands and getting dirty every day. Like that is, those are real men. Yes. And I feel fortunate that, you know, I don't have to do that. At least not yet in my career. There might be a point where we do.
I will say, I'm a little jealous of blue shorts.
You are?
Yes.
I'm not.
Because the blue collar jobs run in my veins.
Well, I get, they really don't. They run in your brother and your dad's veins.
What do you mean?
Well, it skipped you.
I worked as a maintenance foreman. All right, from the years I was Anne Arundel County's youngest maintenance foreman.
No, you.
I was a maintenance foreman.
You worked at playgrounds, and you would change out the trash cans every once in a while.
That's untrue. Okay, that's untrue. Yeah, that's untrue. I would tell people to do the trash cans.
All right. Well, then you had an office job.
It wasn't an office job. I had boots on the ground. I had steel toe boots.
What were you doing?
Steel toe boots
mowing
on the
grass.
Yes.
Oh, you were.
Yeah. I had a big old tractor that I was on.
But you haven't done that since you were at least 25.
I know.
Right. So, everybody's got to have had a crappy job at one point.
But I'm just saying, I envy it because he is salt of the earth.
I am jealous of the fact, first off, in my mind, blue shorts doing manly construction work is just not a fit. I'd be a better fit. And I'm the world's, no calluses on this hand.
Yeah, I know. Although you're starting to get them.
I'm starting to get them, I guess, for now as I'm working out a little bit. But this is
what I don't understand is. So at first when we found out that Blue Shorts is working in construction.
I thought it was a bit.
I thought it was a bit, too.
Because he did a video saying he got sunburned on his first day of construction. And I'm like what?
I thought he's doing like a woe is me. Look at me. I'm a day laborer type thing.
Some weird Blue Shorts shit.
I need money. So look at me. I'm hanging out at Home Depot trying to get work because I'm laid off.
Right.
Like I just thought it was a YouTube bit.
I didn't know that he was working with Bob the Builder, some guy they know.
I know Bob the Builder.
You do. I do not know him, but sounds like a nice guy. And Blue Shorts is learning the on-the-job training. God bless Bob the Builder. Training
the patience of a saint.
How to use a nail gun and how to cut wood and all kinds of stuff. And look, all very useful stuff. Like in Shorts is
this
probably
is why, this
already
is why I'm
far beyond what you your knowledge and my knowledge
is that he's learning a skill that
he's
is useful.
A skill.
That when the end of days come and the you know what I mean, the Armageddon's here and you need to build your own shelter.
Well, how come
Shorts can do it?
How come you never say that?
What?
Whenever you're crabby and you're having a bad day, you say, I want to go pour beer somewhere. You never say, hey, I want to go weld some pipes.
That sounds like I'm working in porno. I've been working in gay porno. I'm going to go weld some pipes.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm going to go spit shine some pipes.
Or you never say, I want to go change some oils.
Yeah. I'm going to work at a quickie lube and change some oil. Because the bar that I work at is on a beach.
Oh,
and
I don't equate. Right, that's not blue collar to me.
No, to be honest with you.
It's in your veins.
To be honest with you, when S hits the fan and we all get fired, I'm probably going to be hitting up Shorts to go see if I can work next to him. We'll be like the Property Brothers. All right? We'll be like Drew and Jonathan Scott.
Yeah.
All right? And we'll replace tile together. We'll take down drywall together.
I like Shorts's his mindset about this whole thing because he was like, the guy is literally learning how to put on his steel-toed boots, right? He doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
And he's working as
his Red Wings.
He's working as an assistant to a construction worker.
I guess I can say this. Shorts told us that he picks up the trash from everyone else that's there.
And Shorts was giving us the hard sell, and he was like, no, this is great. You don't understand. I can become a project manager. And I'm like, Shorts, you're learning how to use a nail gun.
you're picking up everyone's cigarette butts on the job. And you know what?
I respect it. It hasn't sunk in yet that Shorts is out there.
This is what I think of when Shorts. You remember the movie Saving Private Ryan, right?
Of course.
All right. You remember the scared interpreter that's running mm-hmm. ammo to everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I imagine Shorts is doing on the construction
on the lot.
Site.
Yeah.
On the lot. Is that this chicken with its head cut off, running all around, scared, not knowing anything that's going on, helping everyone who is actually doing work on the job.
Right. Well, I respect the hell out of it. It's just a funny visual to me of Shorts out there.
Hey, if you worked in construction, what would be your specialty?
Definitely not a crane operator. I'm scared of heights. I you know what I was pretty good at? Holding up the sheetrock. My dad loves hanging sheetrock, and all my entire childhood, it seemed like in the fall and spring, we were doing some home construction project, and I would hold up one end of the sheetrock, and my brother the other end, and my dad's nailed it into the
roof. How many times in your life have you hit your fingers with a hammer?
Enough times where I'm still scared of it to this day.
That's gotta be on the Mount Rushmore of pain.
Oh, definitely. When you crack that fingernail from
that. How many times do you think Shorts has banged his finger hand with his hammer?
It had to have happened numerous times already. What's your favorite tool?
Crowbar.
Crowbar?
I like to do that with my zings.
Yeah. My dad had something on his workbench that was like a vice. You know what a vice
is? Yeah, I know what a vice is.
You just crank it so tight
and it holds it.
I would love putting shit in there and just cranking that whatever it was and getting that thing so tight. It wouldn't even be stuff that was supposed to go in there.
Hey, do you think Shorts wears one of those belts?
A leather tool belt? Yeah, you got it. That's first day on the job attire. Yeah. You got to get one of those, I think. Hammer.
This is why it doesn't fit. Shorts and construction doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. I feel like Shorts would be taking his tape measure, trying to measure everyone's on the construction site.
Well, I just envision Shorts like wearing flip-flops, as I see him every time, wearing big baggy basketball shorts.
Oh, yeah. His and one shorts.
Yeah.
And a pop punk t-shirt.
Yeah. He's not like a flannel shirt guy to me in the, like heavy carpenter jeans. He's not that kind of guy.
Yeah. Shorts doesn't look good in Dickies.
All right. Hey, we've gone so long. I think we're going to get in trouble. So.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
We got to go, but I hope everyone enjoyed this extended episode of episode 99 of Bit Season.
Yeah.
And maybe next week we'll talk more about the junkies.
Yeah. You know what we should do for our 100th episode?
What?
Go 100 minutes.
All right. We'll leave that. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. You can't say before the show, we got nothing.
You know what? We'll do a junkies. All right. Our 100th show. Let's see if we can get 100 calls.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we'll get the calls working on this thing sometime.
That would be nice.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Later.
Bye.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered, inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.